There has got to be a way to do this at a scalable level and to do it in a way that's going to help us convert a lot higher so that our time spent on the phone is actually spent with people who are ready to rock and roll, right? So meaning people who are actually qualified to get us on the phone.
Welcome to the closing table. You found a mastermind for real estate, mortgage, and pros from related industries with a commitment to reach more people, provide more value, and create a genuine rapport with clients, partners, and teammates. This is where the deal is done. It's time to take your seat at the closing table with your host, Brian Weiss.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited to have our guest this morning, Michelle Berman, who I'm happy to call a friend of mine as well, but more importantly, she is the founder of Berman Media PD, the creator of Beyond the Method, and most importantly, she's a mom. So I'm sure we'll get some mom stories at some point this morning, but glad to have you here, Michelle. Thank you for all you do and for all you've taught me around digital media. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian. This is going to be awesome. I'm honored to do it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. So, you know, there's so many things we could talk about here, but I'd really like to start and dig into your brain about digital media as a whole, right? So you and I have talked a lot about how we can create and nurture relationships using all of our digital media platforms. And you, I think rightly so, will say that we kind of miss the boat, right? We keep it on the surface and miss the opportunity to truly connect with people online and then take those connections offline. So if you would just kind of dig into your high level thought process on that, and then we'll see where the conversation goes from there.
Yeah, amazing question and great way to start. And really the thought process centers around one word. And Brian, I know you know what that word is, but I'll say it for everyone else, but it's psychology, right? Like what's going on in people's brains and ultimately how can we make someone understand that prospecting on social media, specifically, you know, Instagram being my platform of choice, but prospecting on social media, in my opinion, is very undervalued and also very underutilized, right? So what the thought process really is how can we prospect at a scalable level? And in that process, how do we convert at a higher percentage, right? So a lot of times when the way I describe this is, you know, if you're calling 100 people a week, how many of those people you're calling are actually answering? Of the people that actually answer, you know, maybe half of them are hanging up on you. Half of that half is saying, you know, I already have a realtor or I already have a loan officer, or I'm not interested. I clicked that button by accident or whatever they're going to say. And then of that few that you might talk to, you know, maybe there's one that needs an appointment set for follow-up. And maybe there's one that actually is ready for you to move the meeting or move forward with. And when I really studied all of this, my head kept telling me there has got to be a way to do this at a scalable level and to do it in a way that's going to help us convert a lot higher so that our time spent on the phone is actually spent with people who are ready to rock and roll, right? So meaning people who are actually qualified to get us on the phone. And I think that in today's day and age, especially in the real estate and the mortgage space, like it's very, very common for people just to buy their leads and to spend all of their money on Facebook ad or lead generation in that form. And I think that while we've been so hyper-focused, or while the culture has been so hyper-focused on saving time, saving money, doing things faster, like, you know, making processes simpler, we've really missed the true meaning of why we're supposed to be doing all of this. And that's to connect. So essentially what I did was reverse engineer all of that into a very streamlined process to be able to prospect at a scalable level in your DMs on the Instagram platform, and then also, you know, convert 5, 10, 15% higher so that when you are on the phone with people, they're qualified to be there with you and it doesn't even feel like a sales call. And that's really the magic of it.
So a lot of people will say, and you touched on an important point there, but a lot of people will say that cold calling is dead. And in my mind, I don't think it's dead. I still think it's part of the process. But it sounds like you're sort of changing the dynamic there, right? It's more of a warm call if A, they already know who you are, and B, they're already sort of attracted to sort of attracted to the message that you're sharing online anyway. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Spot on. That's exactly what it is. Like, is cold calling dead? No, I don't think that it is. I think people will always and forever do that. I think people will always be buying lead lists. I think that, you know, people will always be doing Facebook ads, and I understand the importance and the value of doing all of those things. My goal, and exactly what you just mentioned, is that the idea is if we can get on the phone with these people and already have that connection, or already have, you know, the way I kind of laughingly say it is, do we have 3 to 5 bullet points next to the person's name before we get on the phone with them? And most people would be like, well, hell yeah, that would change the whole dynamic of the call. Like, if I knew that this person lived in XYZ, if I knew this person loved CrossFit, if I knew this person had a pit bull and a cattle dog and had a 20-month-old son, like, that would be a lot easier of a cold call in theory, right? Because you get on the phone and you already have all of these points of connection. So that's what Instagram allows us to do, right? That's what social media allows us to do, so that we can do this, have this connection with someone, then schedule the call, or then get their information, and we get on the phone with them. You know, the first 5 to 10 minutes, we're not talking about business at all. And by the time it does come to business, what's going to happen, right? That person's going to easily convert, most likely, or at least, again, you're going to have a significantly higher conversion rate at worst than you would without all of that. And even better, you're going to be talking to people that you actually want to talk to, right? Or people that actually want to talk to you, vice versa. So what ultimately happens there is you're living in your lane, right? You're prospecting with people that have like minds. And what really, really happens with that is people won't shop you, especially in our industry. There's a lot of that. Get a second opinion. Oh, well, I'm talking to this agent and I'm talking to this agent. Who's going to help me sell my house for more money, right? It's like this big giant competition. And I think that if you're the person that can focus on the connection first and loving on them as an individual first, and actually genuinely mean it when you're creating this connection, a lot of times you can tell when someone's just going to try to sell you something and not actually care what you need or who you are. So I always say, like, don't be that guy, but that's what Instagram allows you to do. It really is life-changing in your prospecting if you see it that way.
I love it. I love it. So I know you... I don't know if focus is the right word, but you kind of zero in, or you put a lot of weight in Instagram per se. But so what are your thoughts on the other social media platforms? Are you only Instagram?
So, I mean, we use all of the platforms. We have a pretty robust YouTube channel that gets, you know, comments here and there. We've gotten a big lead out of it in the last few months. I ended up landing a speaking gig off of a YouTube video. So, I mean, there's a lot of value there. We don't get a lot of views per se, but we do them anyway, right? We keep showing up, which again is the point. Like, it's not about how many views you're getting. It's about, like, are people reaching out to you and are people consuming your content and making the connection? And I would say if you Google Michelle Berman Michael, or if you Google, you know, Berman Media or the Instagram Power Method, there's going to be a crap ton of stuff that comes up about us. And to me, that's the biggest compliment in the world, right? Because if someone's like, Michelle, how do I get to know more about you? Google me, you know? And a lot of people are afraid to tell people to do that. But I think we've definitely gotten to a place where that's what I would encourage someone to do. But as far as, like, all of the social platforms, Instagram is definitely my platform of choice. It really always has been. We have a really huge Facebook group. I think, Brian, you're even part of that. And our free Facebook group that we use, it's just value, value, value. Like, will we sell in there occasionally? Yeah. But the reality is that our job in this industry is to really move the needle for people. So our Facebook group is just designed to be free value. And then we don't, I've never even downloaded TikTok, never once, nor do I have any desire to do so. You know, back in the day, Clubhouse was a big thing during COVID, and I've made a ton of relationships and built a lot of really great friendships off that. But in theory, I would say we're the big three. So we're Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Those really are our platforms. LinkedIn, I've been on. I have a profile, you know, every now and again, I'll check it, but it's very inconsistent. It's just not where I live.
Okay. So then on TikTok, you know, they say, you know, so many people believe it's going to go away. So I've dialed back my efforts on TikTok. Not that I was a big TikToker, but I've dialed back my efforts on TikTok because I feel like it may go away anyway. So on Clubhouse, you mentioned using it during the pandemic. Are you leaning into Clubhouse now still at all? Or is that sort of like something that was a couple of years ago for you?
No, it's sort of something that, you know, I still have it on my phone, but I don't check it regularly. And it's, if someone asks me to jump in a group or to jump in like the virtual stage land, like I will, but it's very rare. During COVID, it was the only way that we communicated and the only way that we really connected, because, you know, nobody was going on Facebook Lives at that time. Everyone was like, I'm stuck at home and I've gained the COVID 10 or whatever crap people made up in their minds, right? As far as like TikTok is concerned, because I think this is relevant, I don't know that TikTok's quote going away. I think that there is a lot of scarcity mindset around it, right? People are worried about certain things that are happening in the industry with TikTok, with what's going on, you know, in the news. And I think the news will spin it however the news wants to spin it. But the reality is that for what we are trying to do, in my opinion, meaning, you know, Beyond the Method and my company, like, TikTok is not the best place for me to add value to people. It's not the best place for me to connect with people via Messenger and have these open forum conversations and be able to really connect. And I know that in my business, people hire me because they like me, not because of a really funny TikTok video. So I feel like Instagram allows me to be me and to have these private conversations in a really open forum and a really personal forum, right? Like, that's the beauty of DMs, is we can have these private conversations all day, every day. And that's just between me and you. So you just can't do that on TikTok. I think, you know, it's coming maybe, but it's hard to say. But yeah, we just doubled down where we feel like we need to. And I think Clubhouse was brilliant, honestly, like at the time. I just think that there was some infrastructure that was missing in order for it to live on. But it was very valuable when it was really active.
Okay. So, and each platform sort of has its own different focus, right? Like, LinkedIn is a different focus than Facebook, and Facebook is different than Instagram. And you say pound for pound, Instagram sort of checks a lot of boxes. And so what I'm hearing is, and kind of how I use it, tell me if this is wrong, but I do post a lot of business content, but then I also post some personal stuff so that people can get to know me a little bit as an individual. And that's kind of what I look for when I'm looking at other people's profiles, is I want to know a little bit about them personally. Are they CrossFitters? Are they into grilling? Are they, you know, sports buffs or car nerds or whatever? Like, just a little bit of personal stuff. But I also want information professionally. So is that sort of a fair statement too, that Instagram can touch the personal and the business at the same time?
1,000,000%. Yeah. Okay. I think sounds like you know what you're doing. But I will tell you, like, yeah, right. It's fine. We will just continue to help you keep crushing it. But in all honesty, yes, what you said is perfect. And I, at the end of the day, feel like it's very, very important to incorporate both of those things, right? I know that you're really good at what you do, and that's wonderful, but I don't value it the same way as I would if I know who you are. I know you're the things that you enjoy doing outside of work, the things that make you you. Validate how good you are at what you do, in my opinion, right? So if someone goes and consumes my content, the idea is that they get to know me personally. They feel connected to a lot of the morals that I have, things that I talk about, the fact that I am a mom, and the fact that, you know, I'm a military wife living in a military community. Like, that's a big conversation for a lot of people. You know, the fact that I employ military spouses and I talk about it all the time, that's attractive to people. And so it allows people to get to know, well, if Michelle does those types of things, that must mean that Michelle is this type of person, which makes them feel more confident in the value that we provide, right? Or in the value content that I produce. So for you, it's the same concept, right? Like, if I'm hiring you for something, I need to know, one, that I like you and I feel connected to you first, and then the hire you process is really easy. And again, everything ties back down to, or comes back down to, do I feel connected to you? And can you, as the person who's trying to sell me something, make me feel like you hear me, you see me, you understand exactly what I'm going through? And ultimately, do you have the solution that I need? And the only way for us to determine that is to get through that small talk and work through the, hey, who are you type of conversations? Because then when I am on the phone with you and you're trying to sell me a loan or sell me a house or be my buyer's agent or whatever, or come sell my house, whatever your end game goal is, I'm not shopping you around, because I've just invested a lot of time into that relationship before I made that phone call, right? So if your goal is to convert and to generate business, if your goal is to recruit, if your goal is to do X, Y, Z, it doesn't really matter. You have to connect first and then reap the benefits if you focus on connection more so than selling.
I love it. I love it. So it's kind of like a connection based on values, right? You know, they're looking for a personal connection as well as business. So then here's the question, what's the appropriate, or is there an appropriate number or a percentage, right? Should it be 90% business, 10% personal? Is it 80-20? Is it 50-50? Does it matter?
It's a question that a lot of people ask, and I've been doing this for going on 9 years, and the question still comes up darn near every day. You know, whether I'm teaching a webinar, whether I'm speaking in real life, whether I'm on a podcast just like this, like it's like the question just will live on into infamy, I feel like. But the answer to that question, I think, varies depending on who you talk to, or as far as how it's explained, I think varies. But in reality, the answer is the same. It's just a matter of how people interpret it. But what we do is we teach the 50-50 rule. So, you know, I personally don't believe in an 80-20 rule, but as far as the 50-50, what that means is if you have 30 pieces of content that you produce on a monthly basis, then half of that is personal content. So half of that is content from my camera roll. It's pictures of me doing my life. It's my son. It's my husband and I. It's traveling. It's work. It's a picture of me speaking. It's my dog, right? It's people getting to know like who I am, right? We're in the middle of building a house and I love sharing that. I have a ton of really fun conversations with people about it. And so that's the personal side of like what makes Michelle Michelle. Yesterday, I posted a video on my stories about building SOPs, right? And how, you know, it was frustrating. It felt like I was climbing Mount Everest. It was hard. It is hard. And that creates a lot of, oh, hey, Michelle, like I see you. And I know I've been through the same thing. Or, hey, you just gave me the confidence, right? I got a message about it from somebody who said, like, it's good to know that you struggle too. And I'm like, I'm human, just like the rest of you. So lifestyle content is really, really valuable in that sense. So that would be 50% of the 30 pieces, the other 50%. So you have 15 remaining posts of the 30. Those 15 are broken down into three separate categories. We call it value series is one. Testimonials is usually the second. There are options to replace the testimonials with other things. And then the third one, if you're on the real estate side, would obviously be showing transactional history. Right? Showing the open house, showing the just sold, showing the just listed, et cetera. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to hire you, I do still need to know that you can actually help me buy or sell a house, right? If you've never sold a house before and you're brand new and you're just getting started, share the open houses you're doing, share the drop, like the Popeyes you're doing, share the door knocking you're doing, right? Record a video of it, show that you're out in the community and allow me to feel like, yes, I can hire you and you can actually get crap done. Right. And that's ultimately why we would be hiring you in the first place. So, and then if you're on the loan side, you have some fun options, right? You can do some realtor spotlights. You can do some small business spotlights, which is always a fun one. My loan officers that do this love it because essentially what they're doing is they're showcasing small businesses that are owned by current or existing clients, right? So maybe they just did a loan for somebody and they own a really fun small business maybe it's a pizza restaurant, it's a coffee shop, it's a chiropractic office, like whatever it is, right? If you showcase that small business, but you do it in a really fun way where you actually go to the business and maybe you're posing with the other person that owns it, AKA your client, right? And you're telling stories a little bit better. So that's a really fun option. Another one of the pillars it can go either way on the real estate or loan side is what I call God moments. Some people call them mindset moments. You can choose to call it whatever you want, but they're the moments where you just, you know, sit down or you get in your car after a meeting or you finish a workout and you're just like, man, I just feel like I need to sing this to the world, or I feel like I just need to get this out of my body, right? It's kind of those thoughts that hit you out of nowhere where you're like, I need to share this, and kind of those, oh my gosh, moments. You know, for me, there's a lot of those, right? In the process of building a house, it's not for the faint of heart. It's a hard. And there's been lots of like, oh shit moments where I'm like, what am I doing? Right. And getting on the phone or, you know, opening my phone and talking to my phone about those moments, both good and bad. Right. I've seen people do these and they're crying. Right. I've seen people do these and they're celebrating. So I think it can be a combination of the two, but that's a long-winded answer to your question, but really it's 50-50 and the business side becomes secondary, in my opinion, to the value of who you actually are as a person.
Well, and I love what you teach because I love that you did that because it shows sort of the structure that you put in place that works. And so many people, myself included, and still today, I get completely overwhelmed about what should I post? Do people even care? Do people care that I'm going to the ice cream shop with my kid? Why should I, you know, why bother? But you've really put together a framework that keeps it simple, duplicatable, relevant, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I love
Yeah, the structure is so huge. The structure is so huge, right? I mean, we're all busy. You're busy. I'm busy. Every client of ours is busy. Like it's almost like if you don't say you're busy, I'm like, are you sure you're not? Like it's kind of a weird thing, right? Now there are people who are newer in the industry that maybe aren't busy transactionally, but like they still have life, right? I mean, we're parents, Brian, you and I both, and there's stuff involved in all of that, right? Like, and I'm a big believer in finding time to do new things all the time with my kid. And so, you know, this morning we went on a long walk in the woods with my two girlfriends here. Like we just went and picked up pine cones and spent time outside, right? And like, that's important to me. And with that comes, okay, well, if I know I only have a certain number of, or I only have a certain number of hours, or this is my window to get this stuff done, right? How can we be the most effective in that window? As the CEO now officially, my time blocking has become really interesting. You and I were talking about this offline, but I get up very early in the morning and I work for about 2 hours before my son wakes up, and I get a crap ton done during mm-hmm. that time. Like I get more done in 2 hours in the morning before the sun is up than I used to get done in probably 5 to 6 hours. Like, and I think that that's a superpower of being a parent, because we have to. But imagine, my point in this is, imagine if we didn't have a structure, right? Imagine if I didn't know the best use of my time during those 2 hours. Imagine, Brian, if you knew you had to do your 45 comments and 20 story replies, and you're like, well, I'm just going to do it at random anytime during the day, whenever I feel like getting to it. Like, you're not going to do it, right? And then imagine one step further, if you don't even know how to execute the 45-20, then you're definitely not going to do mm-hmm. it, right? So there's the structure aspect, I think, for me has been so instrumental in my own progress as a business owner, but also more importantly, the success of my students, right? And of my clients, because if they understand the structure is there for a reason, they're going to be more likely to buy into it. And if they see me doing the same structure that I'm teaching them, even more so will they buy into it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you for all of that. And thank you for taking the time with us this morning. This has been fantastic. So appreciate you. Any parting words or advice for the loan officers and real estate agents out there that are trying to adjust to this market and scare up some business? Parting advice.
Yeah, I would tell every single one of you that social media specifically, you know, whether it's Facebook private messaging or Instagram DMs, they're the same thing on just different platforms. It is a viable lead source, and it is not an afterthought. It should not be an afterthought, right? It's not, oh, if I get to social media today, I'll get to it, right? It's not just a box that you check on your to-do list. Like, it really is and can and has changed my life and changed all of my clients' lives who adopt the process. So I think I read a statistic this morning actually on Forbes that only 52% of all licensed agents are actively using social media, which, you know, we're talking about agents specifically, but that is a really low number, right? And of the 52% that are actively using it, my guess would be with, and again, I'm making this up, but my guess would be maybe half of those 50% are even using it half right, right? Which just means that even though I've been doing this now for going on 4 years, there is an enormous amount of market share that is just so untapped. People are just not leveraging it properly. So it's really exciting, and it's also really sad at the same time, right? It's like there's job security in that.
I was just going to say that's opportunity for Berman Media all day long.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You're not going to rest until you get to the other 50%.
Definitely not. I'm not going to settle until all 100% of realtors and LOs are actively using Instagram to prospect. But no, in all seriousness, it's sad and happy, right? It's a sad thing when you realize that so many people are unwilling to adopt what the world is telling us we kind of sort of need to, or they have these kind of roadblocks that are keeping them from doing so, which are, in my opinion, kind of stupid. Like, if your hair doesn't look good today, oh well, right? Like, show up anyway. You know, if you're like worried what someone might think about your post it anyway. Like, those are not your people if they're going to be worried about it. So I think people just need to adopt the process, but I'm on a mission to make that 52% higher. And I think that it's just one day at a time, without question, but it starts with people understanding that it is viable, and that people are actually doing it in a way that matters.
So that's great advice. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for your time. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian.
You bet.
Follow The Closing Table everywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you found value here, invite a colleague or friend who could benefit from a visit too. To connect with Brian, visit connectwithbw.com. We'll see you next time at the Closing Table with Brian Weiss.